and we walk into the house of God in compelling. Amen. Amen. Last week, Tuesday, I started a series of messages on how to keep your joy intact. Amen. Amen. How to what? Keep your joy intact. And today, by the special grace of God, we are going to pick it up from where we left off. Amen. Amen. Can we open our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1? 1 Peter chapter 1. That's where our text is found. 1 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to read from verse 6. 1 Peter 1. From verse 6 down to 8. If you're there, say amen. Okay, I guess many people are not there. 1 Peter 1. The book of 1 Peter is after the book of James. 1 Peter 1. Are we there now? Okay. Verse 6 to 8. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith be much more precious than that of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love, in whom, though you have not seen him not, yet believing, you rejoice with what? Joy unspeakable and full of glory. So say joy unspeakable and full of glory. Come on, say joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now that is the kind of joy that God has for the believer. That joy is an inexplainable joy. That joy is a glorious joy. Amen. Amen. I said amen. Amen. But if you follow this text carefully, you will notice that while Peter was writing to this group of believers, he acknowledged two things. The first thing was that there was a time their joy was skyrocketed. Their joy was on sky 11, or if you like, on the highest level. It says in verse 6, wherein you greatly rejoice. They were so full of joy. They were so full of, joy. Then after a period of tribulation or trials, the Bible says their joy evaporated. That's to tell you how your joy can be if you don't protect and preserve your joy. Amen? Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, we have awesome responsibility in protecting and preserving our joy. We are living in a world that is full of so many challenges. Jesus said in John 16:33, in the world. We are living in that world now. Amen? It says, in the world you will have what? Tribulations. The word tribulation there means distress. The world is a distressing place. There's so many things that is going to challenge you. So many things that is going to pull you in different directions. And those things are capable of affecting your joy. Amen? Amen. Say after me, say, by the grace of God, I will keep my joy. Come on, say it like you may say, by the grace of God, I will keep my joy. That's what this message is all about. This message is about how you can keep your joy intact. Is it possible to have joy and to maintain joy in a distressing world? The answer is yes. Because, ladies and gentlemen, like I explained to us last week, we have the responsibility and God has given us the power in preserving and protecting our joy. Your joy will not only, your joy will not only be full, but God will help you to keep your joy intact in the mighty name of Jesus. So, I think I showed you the example also of David in 1 Samuel chapter 30. The Bible says the soul of everybody was greatly distressed. Verse 6. Because the enemy came, took their wives, took their children, and everything. I mean, 1 minute these guys were on Sky 11. Amen, somebody? They were so excited. And the next minute, they were thinking of killing David. The Bible says they were so grieved. Now, grief is an emotion. Amen, somebody? It's a negative emotion. It's the opposite of joy. These were warriors. They came out from the place of war excited. But when they got home, they got the bad news. Amen? And you see their joy just vanquished, evaporated. Now, everybody turned on who? David. But thank God that David knew how to encourage himself in the Lord. He was in a distressing situation. Say distressing situation. But you can keep your joy. Listen, you can keep your joy. No matter what you are going through, no matter where you are, God has given us the power to keep and to preserve our joy, and your joy shall be full in the name of Jesus. I explained to us also reasons why you need to keep your joy. I said you need to keep your joy because your victory depends on it. Say, my victory depends on it. I said you need to keep your joy because what? Your strength depends on it. The more joyful you are, the more stronger you are. I also went ahead. I said you need to keep your joy because what? Because your health, your well-being depends on it. Proverbs 17:22 says, a merry heart doeth good like what? Like medicine. Then the last but not the least point that I gave us is that you need to keep your joy intact because your peace depends on it. The more joyful you are, the more peaceful you are. In fact, one of the meaning of the word joy in the old, covenant, the word Kaira, the word is spelled C-H-A-R-A, though it's pronounced Kaira in the Greek. That word means cheerfulness or calm delight. When somebody is calm, and listen, in the midst of trouble is calm, and he has a joyful look, that is joy in manifestation. Amen? I said amen, somebody. Listen, Paul was locked up in prison, waiting the executioner, or waiting for the day of execution. And he was telling people outside, Philippians 4 verse 4, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say unto you what? Rejoice. He was joyful. How many people can be joyful when you know your day of execution is around the corner? Now, that is a man who knows how to keep his joy intact. You know, at times, some people, when everything is not going well around them, everybody knows they lose their joy. And listen, once you lose your joy, it will affect your peace. They are connected. Romans 15:13, it says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. You see that it goes together? All joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. So it's important for you to know that this is why you must keep your joy. Sometimes I say, I need to keep my joy intact. Because my peace. Now, you know the word peace, I've explained to you several times. Peace does not mean the absence of danger or trouble. Peace means the presence of God in the midst of what? Trouble. Peace also means prosperity. It might interest you to note that word that I quoted earlier on, that Greek word that talks about joy, also means to be well off or to be well. So, joy means to be well. And when something is, when you are well, it means you are prosperous. To be well off actually means to be wealthy or to be rich or to be in a favorable set of circumstances. So your joy is important. Somebody say, my joy is important. Tell your neighbor, say, keep your joy by all means. Listen, whether you know it or not, you know, one of the reasons why you must keep your joy intact is because Satan is after your joy. Do you know that Satan is after your joy? Do you know that Satan's objective is to steal your joy, but he will not succeed? You didn't hear what I said. I said he will not succeed. Listen, if Satan succeeds in stealing your joy, he has succeeded in the following: stealing your strength, stealing your victory, stealing your peace and your health. So that's why you must give him no place. Sometimes say, I will give him no place. You know, the Bible says in John 10 verse 10, the thief has come to what? To steal. That's the ministry of Satan. To steal, to kill, and what? Destroy. He has come to steal. He's a thief. Amen? So don't allow him. Amen, somebody? God has given you the power to keep your joy. The responsibility is yours, and you will not fail in Jesus' name. Say after me, say, I will keep my joy. Regardless of where I am or what I'm going through. Tell your neighbor, say, you can keep your joy. And you will keep your joy intact. We are talking about how to keep our joy intact. So, how do we keep our joy, therefore? Because it's possible to do it. If the likes of Peter, if the likes of Paul, and the saints who have gone ahead of us have done it before, that means it's doable. I said it's doable. Say after me, say, I will keep my joy intact. Listen to this. You can keep your joy, and you will keep your joy in Jesus' name. Our focus tonight is we're going to be looking at the things that can help you to keep your joy. What are those things that can help me to keep my joy? The first one I want to mention is that you must take the initiative to be joyful. Listen, God's people, the responsibility of being joyful lies in your hands. If you're waiting for your spouse to keep you happy, you probably wait a long time. If you're waiting for your boss to keep you joyful, that may not happen. Amen, somebody. Amen. If you're counting on your friends to keep you joyful, that may not happen. Sometimes he said, the responsibility of my joy lies in my hand. So, therefore, take the initiative. So I said, how are you sure? I mean, how did you find out that the initiative, the responsibility of my joy is in my hands? Listen, your joy is not based on the environment. Your joy is not based on the economy. Your joy is not based on people. Your joy is based on you. Amen? Say after me, say, I will take initiative. Do you know what it means to take initiative? It simply means for you to take action. Stop waiting for others to make you joyful. Amen? Don't put the responsibility. You know, one definition of faith. Faith is what? Acting on the revealed word of God to you. Now, what is the revealed word of God to us? Philippians 4 verse 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say what? Now, how can I take the initiative of my joy? Through your actions and your words. Through what? Your actions and your word. One thing I do every blessed day. I can't even recollect the number of times I've done this over and over and over. I say to myself, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will what? Rejoice. Who will rejoice? I. Say I, somebody. Who is I? The real you. The man of the inside. I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will what? So what's your decision? It's your decision. It's your call. If you're going to be joyful, you have a part to play. Take the initiative for your joy. I declare, I will rejoice in the Lord today. Joy is my portion. Every day is my day of joy. I rejoice in the Lord today. Again, I will rejoice. You see, when you say such kind of words, you are taking initiative for your joy. You are moving into action. Listen, your joy is within you. Amen. How people know that? If you are born again, the joy of the Lord resides where? In your spirit. Because the Bible says in Romans 14 verse 17, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, joy in what? The Holy Ghost. Where is the Holy Ghost? I can't hear you. Where is he? Inside of you. So where is your joy? Inside. So what you say, the decisions you take determines whether you're going to have joy or not. So you need to take initiative. See, after I say, I will take initiative. I declare it. I'm super excited about today. I'm super excited about what God wants to do. I rejoice in the Lord today and again and what? Top of them says, stop waiting for inspiration. Move yourself into action. You know the reason many people's joy are not intact is because they are waiting for the right atmosphere. No. You take the initiative for your joy. Hello? If you are waiting for inspiration, you may wait for a long time. Listen, you must know how to move yourself to action. Say, move yourself to action. There's not a day I don't have a good laugh in my study. Amen, somebody. Someone said, I mean, it was just something funny that happened. He said, that's why I don't need, with all apologies, thank God for the likes of Alibaba and the rest of them, I don't need them to get me happy. Amen, somebody. Are you in the house tonight? I mean, I don't need an entertainer to get me happy. Amen, somebody. Because I know how to turn my joy on. Amen, somebody. Look at your neighbor and say, you have the power. Say, you have responsibility. Listen, if you don't start taking responsibility for your joy, if you don't start taking the initiative for your joy, one of my mentors said some years ago, I had a tip, she said, I have made up my mind that regardless of the situation or the circumstance, I am going to be joyful. Now, that's somebody who is taking initiative for their joy. Psalm 104 verse 33. What does he say? Psalm 104 verse 33 says, I will sing praise unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. I want to ask you a question. Who will sing praise? Who is the high there? That's the psalmist. Hello? Are you here? I say hello, somebody. He's not waiting for others. He's not waiting for the circumstance. Listen. You know, you don't have much control over the weather. Everybody know that. You don't have much control over the moods of people. Everybody know that. So, if you allow the moods of people or the environment to get to you, you won't be joyful. Hello, somebody. Businessman, businesswoman. Listen, if you allow what you are seeing or what you are feeling, the response you are getting to get to you, you won't be joyful. You need to take responsibility. That's how you can keep your joy intact. There are so many things that will seek to poison your joy. But you must protect it. Say, I will protect it. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you that the day you take responsibility for your joy, that's the day your joy is going to be intact. And today marks the beginning of that day in the name of Jesus. David said, Psalm 34 verse 1, I will bless the Lord. At how many times? His praise shall be where? My soul shall make what? You must decide. What's your decision? That's the first step to take. If you're going to keep your joy intact, take initiative for your joy. If you heard what I said, say, I hear, sir. Number two. How can we keep our joy intact in this kind of world that we live in? I love this one. By rejoicing in hope. You know something? Do you know that hopeful people are joyful people? Hello? Are you here tonight? I said, do you know that what? Hopeful people are what? Joyful people. Now, listen to this. Believers. I love the slogan of the full gospel businessman. They said, the happiest people on heart. I mean, and why shouldn't they be the happiest? Believers should be the happiest people on the face of the earth. Because we have a blessed hope. We are a people of hope. Do you know what hope is? Do you know that hope is what people are earnestly seeking for? How do we know that? We are living in an hopeless world. How many people know that? Hopeless. There are people who are in helpless situations, but we have the source of hope, the giver of hope. Where? In us. Colossians 1:27. Christ. I said Christ. Christ. Where? In you. Is what? It's the hope of glory. You see, a believer should never really be hopeless. You know why? Because you have Christ, who is the source of what? Your hope. Somebody came to meet me and said, you're always very optimistic. You're always believing the good. You're always expecting the good. He said, why? He said, don't you see the parameters that you're operating? Don't you see how things are? Don't you see the wickedness? I say, I know. I know Satan is on the prowl. I know Satan is at work. I know things are, challenging. But the Prince of Hope, the source of hope, is living inside me. If you're alive to him, you cannot but have hope. My hope is not in any politician. Are you here tonight? My hope is not in any government. My hope is not in any man. Amen, somebody. Are you here, somebody? You see, that's what defeats us. We put hope in men. We put hope in things that people have said. We put hope in budget and governments. Hello? Those things can fail. In fact, they are subject to fail. That's why the hopes of people have been dashed. They have placed their hope in the wrong things. Ask your neighbor, in whom is your hope? Ask him, say, in whom is your hope? You see, Christ ought to be the source. Look at this scripture, Romans 5 verse 5. It says that we know that hope maketh not ashamed. Why? Hope has a way of instilling confidence, instilling joy in you. Hope maketh not ashamed. Why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. By the way, do you know that the Spirit of God is the Spirit of love? Hello? 1 Corinthians 13:7. It says one of the characteristics of love. Love hopeth how many things? All things. Look at these three combinations. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 13. Now there abideth faith, love, hope. The greatest of this is what? And the Bible says, if you have love, love, hope for how many things? Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor and say, hopeful people are joyful people. Look at this scripture, Romans 12 verse 12. It says, rejoicing in hope. That's how to keep your joy intact. Rejoicing in what? He didn't say rejoice. He didn't say rejoiced. Rejoicing. That means you must always... Listen. God wants you in a state of hope. Hope. Amen, somebody? You know one meaning of hope? Hope means confident expectation that something good is going to happen. The word hope actually means expectation. It means anticipation that something is about to happen. Something good. You are anticipating. Amen, somebody? You are expecting. One of the things I love about TGD, there's a statement you say, he says, something good is about to happen to you. That's trying to raise the hope of people. Hello? I said, hello. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor. Say, you need to rejoice in hope. That's, listen, you see, You see, that's how you keep your joy intact. Rejoicing. Say rejoicing. Look at it and say, tap your head and say, rejoicing. I can't hear you say, rejoicing. In what? Your hope, the source of your hope is who? Jehovah. Look at what David, he gave us a clue when he was downcast. Psalm 42 verse 5, verse 11, Psalm 43 verse 5. Why are you downcasted, O my soul? Do you know that the word downcast actually means in that place to bow down? It means to sink or to depress. It was like he was in a state of depression. Why are you depressed, my soul? Why are you disquieted? Why the internal rumblings? Why the noise, agitation? You know, he gave the answer. He spoke back. He said, hope thou in who? That's the answer. That's the cure. I said, that's the cure. Hope in who? In man? In government? In systems? In who? Hope in God. He says, put your hope back in him. Let you see. Listen, as long as your hope is intact, your joy will be intact. So keep hope alive. Tap your neighbor and say, keep your hope alive. Listen, your tomorrow is going to be all right. Listen, it's something that I know out of conviction. Amen? You may be going through things now that does not look like it, does not resemble, is working. Romans 8:28, all things are working. One of my daughters in the Lord several years ago, she's been married probably for about 12 or 13 years ago. 2 weeks ago, I got a good news. He told me she put to bed. She's had several miscarriages. Amen, somebody? But listen to this. Hope. Say hope. Kept hope alive. Hope alive. I said hope alive. Hope alive in God. You know, by the way, she was even a medical person. You know, that's going to be like, I mean, because you know what to do. It's like everything is not so. That was telling you. But there's a God that rules. I said God rules. Look at your neighbor and tap. Say, keep your hope alive. If you want your joy to be intact, your hope must be in place. Please don't put hope in any man. You see, the psalmist kept saying, Psalm 38 verse 15, he says, for in thee, O Lord, do I hope. For in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Psalm 39 verse 7, he says, my hope is in thee. My hope is in thee. His hope is confidence, because that's another word for hope. Confidence. Amen, somebody. You know the Bible says concerning the righteous, Proverbs 10:28, it says, the hope of the righteous shall be gladness, or if you like, the expectation of the righteous shall be gladness. See, after me, say, joy is my heritage. And hope is the key to my joy. You may be wondering in your mind, what are the sources of hope that we have? There are plenty. Amen. I have about 12 of them. I may not say all of them. Amen. One. You have supernatural hope. Say, I have supernatural hope. Listen, that's what Father Abraham had. Romans 4:18. Listen to this scripture. Who against hope believed in what? Hope. That he was going to be the father of. Someone say, is that not like oxymoron? Is that not confusion? No. This is what it means. Who against natural hope believed in what? A supernatural hope. What's the natural hope? Oga, your wife don't pass menopause. Oga, you two don't get old. You be like 100. Amen, somebody. Natural hope. All chances, naturally speaking, was what? Slim. Medical science tells us as a woman gets older, the rate of production of the eggs reduces. Amen, somebody. So the chances are getting more slimmer. Amen. For a 90-year-old man, it's like the door is closed. But that's natural hope. I said that's natural hope. He believed in what? A greater hope, supernatural hope. Our hope is not just in, listen, our hope is not in the natural, you know, scheme of things, natural. Our hope is supernatural. Hello? That should keep your joy in place. Supernatural hope. Because when all doors are locked, when all doors are shut, naturally, humanly speaking, the one with God is still open. So tap your neighbor and say, there's hope for you. The Bible even says there's hope for a tree. If it be cut down, that it will sprout again. If it taste the saint of water. Job 14:7. Listen, you are more than a tree. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew 10:31, you are more value. You are more value. You are more honorable, more precious than what? Look at your neighbor and say, you are worth much more than a bird. That should give you some, should ginger your hope. You're better than a fowl. A tree will spring up to life. Amen. If it tastes the saints of water, a tree that has been cut down. How much more? I say, how much more? Look at your neighbor and say, there's hope. Say, because there's hope, keep your joy in place. I mean, so, because of the hope, your joy will be in place. What's another source of hope? Hope of the glory of God. In fact, Romans 5:2 says, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The glory of God is the source of my hope. I said the glory of God is the source of my hope. The glory of God is the source of my hope. The glory of God talks about the presence of God. The glory of God talks about the splendor of God. The glory of God talks about the majesty of God. The honor of Him. That's the source of my hope. A glory that never extinguishes. A glory that never diminishes. The glory of man can diminish. A man is like the flower that rises today. It disappears tomorrow. Not the glory of my Father. I said, not the glory of my God. That should give you hope. That should give you hope. My Father does not have a dwindling glory. It's an exceeding glory. The Bible calls exceeding weight of glory. Exceeding weight of glory. That's why He reigns forever. There's no end to His rulership. No end to His dominion. That should give you hope. That's the source of your hope. The glory of God. I said the glory of God. What's the source of your hope again? Number three, the word of God. The Bible says in Romans 15:4, the things that were written aforetime were written for our correction, so that through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, we might have hope. When you remember the stories of people who have gone ahead, that will give you hope. Hello, somebody. I told you the story of Father Abraham and Sarah. That should give you hope. Surely, certainly, you won't hit 100 before you have your own child. That one is sure. Amen, somebody. I said amen, somebody. Listen, God is working. You may not see it, you may not feel it, but God is at work. Listen, the scriptures gives us hope. It gives us hope. That's the source of your hope. You see, when you know what the word of God says, and you put your hope, your confidence in that word, your joy will be intact. Tap your neighbor and say, the source of my hope is the word of God. Another source of hope. I may not mention all of them. I have like 12 because I want to go to the next point. Another source of hope is the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of what? The Holy Spirit. Romans 15:13. It says, now the God of hope himself fill you with all joy and peace in believing that through the power of the Holy Spirit you might abound in hope. Do you know that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, is a spirit of hope, the spirit of confidence, the spirit of expectation? Even when you're way down, naturally, humanly speaking, there's a way the Spirit of God comes to ginger you up. Amen, somebody? He instills hope and confidence. It tells you that don't cave in, don't surrender. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. He's there. That's why Jesus called him Comforter. Say Comforter. Who's the Comforter? Encourager. A supporter. Amen, somebody. Someone sent alongside to help you. Because God knows that we shall be hidden. Listen, life will throw many missiles at us. But the ministry of the Comforter. See, the ministry of the Comforter will always be there for you. Amen, somebody. Listen, the source of your hope is who? The power of the Holy Spirit. Think about that. He's there with you. In fact, he is with you throughout life. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. Listen, these are the sources of our hope that gives us a reason to be joyful. If your hope is intact, your joy will be intact. Hopeful people are joyful people. The Bible says, hope deferred, delayed, prolonged. Proverbs 13:12 makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it's a tree of life, it's a source of life. The God of hope will fill you with all joy and peace. Amen. In believing that through the power of the Holy Spirit, you will abound in hope always. What's the source of our hope? I'll just say, how many have I given them? I'll just make it 5. I'll stop because I want to go to the. I have about 12 of them. I can't go into all the 12 because of time. Another source of hope is Christ in you. Colossians 1:27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The anointed one in you. The anointed one in you is the source of what? Glory. Listen. Think about the idea of God in you. You know, it's good for God to be with you. It's good for God to be for you. But there's nothing that can be compared with God being you. He's in me. Amen, somebody. Where you go, is there. Amen, somebody. Hello, somebody. Look at it and say, Christ is in me. As a source of my hope. Say, that's the source of my hope. Another source of hope, I'll probably stop at number 6. The hope of your calling. Ephesians 1 verse 18 says that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Listen, his invitation and his calling upon your life is not in vain. There is a hope. Amen, somebody? For his calling. Calling means invitation, summon. Christ summoned you from darkness to his light. There is a hope in that calling. Hello, somebody? Because he has reasons why he saved you from the world and brought you to himself. Your calling is not in vain. Are you here this month? This evening? That's another source of hope. Amen, somebody. Number 7, another source of hope. I'll stop here. I don't want to go. If I continue, I will finish this message today. Number 7, the hope of salvation. 1 Thessalonians 5, I think 18 or so. Will be 8, talks about the helmet that we put on, which is the hope of salvation. You know, our salvation has a blessed hope. Hello, somebody. Your salvation, my salvation, my redemption has a blessed hope. That's a source. Do you know that word salvation does not just mean to be saved? It's a composite word. It's a compound word. It means more than one thing. It doesn't just mean for you to be saved. It means deliverance. It means healing. It means protection. It means preservation. It means wholeness. It means prosperity. It means welfare. It means soundness. Think about the hope of salvation. Hope of deliverance. Hope of healing. Hope of preservation. Hope of protection. Hope of healing. Hope of health. Hope of prosperity. Listen. 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 Your salvation is not in vain. Are you here tonight? Look at your neighbor and tap and say, always rejoice in the hope that you have. And your joy will be intact. That is how to keep your joy intact. Rejoicing always in the hope. Let me go on because of time. Number three, how can you keep your joy intact? By living in His presence. Psalm 16:11. That will show me the part of life in your presence is what? In His presence is what? What is fullness? What is fullness? Overflowing. When something is full to the brim, that's what? Fullness. And it's dripping. His presence, there is abundance of what? Come on, talk to me. In His presence, there is what? Some of you are not even sure. What's in the presence of God? Do you know? I can guarantee you before you leave here tonight, do you know that you will have a reason to rejoice? Yeah. Some of us are even already rejoicing. You know why we are rejoicing? We are in His presence. Joy is one of the what? Available products in His presence. It says in His presence. Now, if His presence carries joy, I need to stay often. I need to stay more or perpetually in that presence so that my joy can be what? That's how to keep your joy intact. Live in the consciousness of His presence. What did I say? Live where? In the consciousness. Say consciousness. You enter the mulwe. He's here with me. Amen, somebody. Because the presence of God is with me everywhere. You enter the aeroplane. I'm not here alone. Amen, somebody. You are seated, you see a lot of strange faces. Amen, somebody. People you don't know from Adam. He's here with me. Amen, somebody. Because He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. His presence is there. Amen, somebody. Hello, somebody. You walk through the dark alley. He's there. His presence is there. You see, live with the consciousness that His presence is with you. Because He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God is not a liar. Hebrews 13:5 said, I will never. Think about that. Never. Say never. Never. Listen, when you think that God is not with you, that's when He's with you the most. One of the greatest things that has ever happened in my life, it didn't look like it. It didn't sound like it. Hello, somebody? I said, it didn't what? It didn't look like it. It didn't sound like it. So if I walk by feelings or sight, I will have missed God. You know, He didn't say, I am with you when you feel like it. No. He said, I will never leave you, nor never forsake you. In fact, the literal Greek says, it says in a more powerful way, it says, I will never, never, never leave you, nor never, never forsake you. 5 times. It's not because He doesn't know what to say or He lacks words. Why is He repeating it? For affirmation. Why is He repeating it? So that you will know that you know that you know that you know in your knowing that He's there. I will never. He told them, Matthew 28:20, He says, lo, I am with you always, to the end of the age. Walk in the consciousness of his presence. That's how to keep your joy. Walk in. Listen, even when you walk through places of paths, you know, somebody was saying this to me. Somebody was going for a major defense, and he said, he said, Pastor, pray for me. Pray with me. I said, in as much as it's good I can pray for you, pray with you. I said, the greatest thing that can give you comfort and reassurance, because you know I can't go with you. I can't be there with you in the room when you are facing all those people. Where they are looking at you like this. I said, but if you will believe God's words, which says, I am with you always. So I enter in that place. He is with me. He's with me. I'm not alone. I said, do you know when you enter to that place, you walk to that place with his presence? His presence has a way of going ahead of you. So that all the people who were supposed to, you know, at times funny things happen during some of those panels. I remember a funny story Baba Adeboye shared some years ago. He said he was applying for a scholarship, Commonwealth scholarship, and he went in, and he said when he entered, the chairman of that panel was sleeping. Everybody was asking him questions. He was answering this, was getting it. So nobody said, no more question. At the point, when everybody was asking him questions, the man, the chairman who had been sleeping, woke up. I said, Mr. Chairman, sir, do you have any question for the boy? He said, yes. You know, there are some people they need to keep sleeping. At times you don't know you don't know why God is keeping some people asleep. He said, the man said, he said, where is Entebbe? He said, where is Entebbe? Which capital of? He said, Entebbe. I thought, I'm not even a geography, I'm a mathematician. Others have been asking me mathematical questions. You said, where is Entebbe? He said, he didn't know what he was saying. He said, he forgot that. That's the chairman, no. You didn't come for mathematics. This is a panel that can ask you any kind of question. He said, he could not give the answer to Entebbe. And he came and was saying, oh, Father, he was discouraged. He was downcast. He said, while he was outside, that's why he met a senior lecturer. Enoch, what did you come to do here? I said, I came for. I said, you don't need to go to, come over to University of Lagos. There's a grant there. That's how he got to go to University of Lagos. But one man, who asked a satanic question, who had been sleeping, sleeps. You see, that's why God will put some of your enemies, your adversaries to sleep. So that you will have gone before they woke up. I remember a dear sister some years ago, University of Ibadan there. One mama said she was not going to go. I said, wait here. I said, no, there's no how. You won't pass. You won't, how can you? Do you know that it became so much an issue for her? She came, we prayed, we agreed. When she was graduating, and the man is the one you go and see to check your results because he was one in charge. I said, you. You know there's no way you. He said, well, let me see your name. Let me check. But I know your name will not be there. Lo and behold, the man was shocked how her name was there. Listen, God will put whoever he needs to put to sleep. The man could not believe that. How did it happen under my nose? God has a way of putting you to sleep. Amen, somebody. Hello, somebody in the house? Look at them and say, live in the reality of his presence. Live in the reality of his presence. Live. You see, that's why praise worship is important. It helps us to what? Cultivate what? His presence. When you pray, not just when we praise worship in church, but out there. Amen, somebody? You are creating the atmosphere of his presence. When you don't forsake the house of the Lord, you are creating an opportunity to what? Stay in his presence. Do everything within your power to make sure that you do things that will keep you where? In his presence. That's why listening to messages, listening to tapes, music, all those things. Godly music. Say godly music. Because there are all kinds of music. Amen, somebody. Hello, somebody. There are all kinds of music. I won't go into that. Amen, somebody. But I believe you understand. Amen, somebody. Create an atmosphere of His presence. The more of His presence, or the atmosphere rather of His presence that you can create, the better for your joy. Amen. That will keep your joy intact. It's important. Let's live in the consciousness of His presence. If you understand what I said, say amen, somebody. God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, will keep you in His presence, always in the name of Jesus. Please never lose foresight of His presence. No matter where you are, wherever you are, He's with you. I said He's with you. He's with you. He's with you. He's with you. And that's why you will never be put to shame in Jesus' name. Number four, how can we keep our joy intact? This one's very important. Stay focused on the Lord. Listen, one of the most challenging things, or things that will challenge you as a believer, is how to keep your focus on Him. How to keep your focus. But it's possible. Amen, somebody. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus. Hebrews 12 verse 2. Looking unto who? Jesus, the author and what? The finisher of your faith, who for the joy that was set before Him did what? You know, the Bible did not say looked. The Bible did not say look. The Bible said what? What is looking? Keep, that means you must keep your eyes on Him. Psalm 25 verse 15. It says, my eyes are what? Ever. Towards the Lord. Permanent. I have fixed my eyes on Him. My eyes are what? Ever. Towards the Lord. It says, therefore, He will pluck my feet out of the net that He has set for me. That's why you will not be trapped. You see, if your eyes is on Him, He will make sure that your foot is not taken. There's a scripture in Proverbs 4 verse 25. It says, let your eyes look right on. Let your eyelids look straight before you. That's focus. Tap your neighbor, say, focus on the Lord. Luke 9:62. Whosoever lays his hands on the plow and looks back is not what? Listen, I know that we're living in a world of distractions. There are distractions everywhere. There are distractors everywhere. But keep your eyes on Him. Listen, if you keep your eyes on Him, your joy will be intact. I said your joy will be intact. The Bible says, Ecclesiastes 6 verse 9, better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desires. It's talking about focus. Focus. I saw a quote years ago in a book that I read. It says, winners focus, losers pray. Losers, they lack the power of concentration, the power of focus. Do you know that what you focus on, that's what you are going to become? Do you know that what you focus on is what will be magnified in your life? Your focus determines your reality. Your focus determines your reality. So, what are you focused on? Hello, somebody. Somebody came to meet me. Somebody said, is it the way you do like as if you don't have any problem? I said, it's not that I don't have any problem or challenges, but I have decided to put my problem, the burden, on the burden bearer. Amen? Listen, if you focus on your problems will be so magnified in your life. So big, you won't be able to sleep. And that will take your sleep. I will steal your joy. Hello? Actually, I say, what are you focused on? Let's focus on the Lord. It's something you have to do deliberately. Now, the question is this: how do you stay focused on God? Two things. I will just say two things because keep your eyes on His word. Keep your eyes on His word. Amen. I said, keep your eyes on what? On His word. Psalm 119, verse 162. What does it say? It says, I rejoice at your word as one that has found great spoil. What does that mean? Do you know that the word of God instills joy? Do you know that? Do you know that the word of God is a source or one of the sources of your joy? The word of God instills joy, renews joy. If you want your joy to be renewed, you have to stay in the word. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you. How? What's meaning of richly? It's like saying yafu yafu. Extra what? Vigantly. Abundantly. Let the word of Christ dwell how? Now, question. Do you know that what you are full of is what you are focused on? I'll say it again. Do you know that what you are full of is what you are focused on? Question is this, what are you focused on? You are focused on the political situation of Nigeria. That's why you are full of news, political news. They kill somebody in Kogi, in Kegina. How do you know it? Because that's what you are focused. Say focused. 24/7. You are listening to the news. You say, breaking news. Close your leg. Tap your number and say, change your focus. You don't know why you are full of some things. Check what you are focused on. What are you focusing on? There are all kinds of reality shows on TV now. They say the wives of something. Most of those things are just gossip. Sincerely, it's gossip. You spend your time watching the something wives of. That's why you are full of. You know what I'm talking about. I say, but boy, listen. The reason you're going to be full of, listen, you have to be careful what you are listening to. What are you focusing on? Look at your neighbor and say, change your focus. What you are full of is what you have been focusing on. If you focus on his word, it's not accidental. That's what is going to come out of you. You know, in the moment of under pressure, what comes out of people is what they have been focused on. When you say, Ori ya mi o, you know what you have been focusing on. Amen. Look at the number and say, focus on his word. Number two, another thing that can help you to stay focused on the Lord, stay focused on his faithfulness. His faithfulness never fails. Do you know that God is faithful? Do you know the meaning of that? God is trustworthy, is reliable, is utterly reliable and completely dependable. God is faithful even when we are not faithful. God is faithful even when others are not faithful. Hello, somebody in the house. Look at the number and say, stay focused on his faithfulness. At times, you know, that's why it's always good to meditate on the faithfulness of God, on his goodness. When you do that, your joy will be intact. Keep your joy. How do you keep your joy intact? Focus. Say focus, somebody. Please, let's focus on his faithfulness. His faithfulness never fails. His faithfulness never fails. That's why you will not be put to shame in Jesus' name. Look at your number and say, keep your focus on him no matter what. Don't let anybody, don't let anything distract you away from him. If we keep our focus on him, our joy will be intact. And grace is being supplied, made available to you to do that in the name of Jesus. Number five, how can we keep our joy intact? By being elaborate in our gratitude or with your gratitude. Listen, there is no how you maintain a grateful heart and your joy will not be intact. If you have a complaining spirit, if you have a murmuring spirit, a murmuring disposition, your joy will evaporate you. Your joy will not be full. Amen. I said, amen. Amen. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor and say, maintain a grateful heart. You know, you know there's a relationship between grace and gratitude. In fact, the root word, the word grace and gratitude is from the same origin, the same Greek origin. What does that mean? That's why you've often heard me said, if you are grateful, listen, your life will be graceful. Gratitude is the key to grace. That's the key to multiplying grace. 2 Corinthians 4:15, it says, all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace through the thanksgiving or gratitude of many abound or redound to the glory of God. How do I make grace abound? By your gratitude. By your gratitude. You know that I tell people, some people have high intelligent quotient, but many people suffer from what I call a low gratitude quotient. Human beings are very short of memory. We soon forget quickly. Amen, somebody? Psalm 106 verse 13. The Bible said, they soon forgot his works. They remembered not his faithfulness. Hello, somebody in the house. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor and say, if you want your joy to be intact, you must maintain what? A grateful heart. There's one lady years ago, you know, she came to stay over in a place through a friend of mine. I think I've shared the story here before. Almost at everything, she would say, thank you, sir. She said, thank you, sir. After breakfast, she said, thank you, sir. After lunch, she said, thank you, sir. After dinner, she said, thank you, sir. She said, okay, take money for transport. She said, thank you for yesterday's money. At the point I almost got, I said, why are you thanking me? Why are you thanking me for the food now? I said, I have to thank you, sir. And do you know that it's true? There are places you go, they won't offer you food. Things that you take for granted, they are not cheap. What you think is cheap is not cheap. There are places you will go, they won't offer you a cup of water. Say cup of water. To even quench your thirst. You are not even asking for minerals or soda. Hello? That's the reality. So what you think is cheap is not cheap. Listen, you can smell. Some people have lost their sense of smelling. Yeah. You know, years ago, we had a fire outbreak. That was years ago. We recently came to Ibadan then. I think Kimberly was barely 2 or so. Ken was still probably, I think it was less than a year or so. It was a baby. And when the living room doing some things, there was no light. Funny on that day. You know, I think we all went into the room to sleep. But it was later after the incident, I remember that we left the candle. We left it, I think, I'm not sure whether it was on the table or whatever. Because I was, by the time the incident happened, I could not even remember what. I said, fire. But it was later it came that you forgot to go back and put off the candle. Now, you know, I mean,
to some extent. I remember things very well. So I was wondering, how could you have forgotten that kind of thing? At least people know me that I remember things. So for me to have forgotten, that shows that you still have a weakness too. You are not God. Amen, somebody. The fire was ravaging. There was no light. We had slept. I think it was I and the kids that were, my wife were in the house. I just woke up. Now, how did I wake up? I didn't even know, but I'm sure it's God that woke me up. I was just wearing the suit of, fire. I said, what is this? There was thick smoke all over the place. By the time I tried to venture into the sitting room, the whole place was on fire. Amen. Somebody was already coming to the dining section too. So there was really no way of escape. God, we're thinking, well, what are we going to do? In the middle of the night, there was one room. There's a room that leads. That's the master bedroom that leads outside. I have often questioned the morale of putting that. I said, why is this? How did they put an exit door in the master bedroom? What kind of design is this? Who needs it? Are you going to be coming out through your master bedroom outside? It didn't make sense. But then, it now made, as I thought, this is probably one of the reasons. Hello, somebody? Our thanks knew no bounds because I've heard of people who had been killed, burnt, because they slept and the fire wiped out everybody. Nobody came to woke up us. Nobody. I believe it was God who woke. Now, that's not something that one can just brush under the, carpet of, it's one of those things. Because I know many people have died. Amen? You see, if you maintain a grateful disposition, there's no how your joy will not go up. Hello, somebody? Let's maintain. That's the key to your joy. Now, how can I be excessive with my thanks or gratitude? Number one, you have to be deliberate with your gratitude. What did I say? Deliberate. Say deliberate. Say deliberate, somebody. You've got to be deliberate. It's something you have to do intentionally. I always tell people this. 9 out of 10 times, you may not feel like giving God thanks. 9 out of 10 times, you may not feel like giving God thanks. But you have to step out. Listen, gratitude is something you do deliberately. It cannot become a part of you. It cannot become a culture if you don't initiate it. Hello, somebody. Let's be deliberate with our thanksgiving. Be deliberate. You wake up in the morning, Father, thank you for this blessing. You woke me up. Some people don't see that as a praise point. They say, I woke up naturally. Okay. You woke up naturally. Okay. You see, the foolish thing about life at times that some people they seem to have a ready-made answer for everything. I seem to say you are the one that woke yourself up. I seem to say you are the one that kept yourself. Has it ever occurred to you that the sleep that you slept, some people slept and they never woke up? I was telling my wife one day, I said, the reality, you see, some of these things, because the exigencies of life, it erodes our thinking. Do you know that every day people die? Do you know that? The way people are dying, people are being born into the heart. Yes or no? Yes. But most of the time, we focus more on the people who are coming in, not the people who are going out. Do you know that? You see, if you have a proper, balanced view to life, it will help you to be more grateful. Some of the things you take for granted, They are not to be taken for granted. We have to be, it's something you must do deliberately. You listen, the more your gratitude increases and goes up, the greater the grace that will be available. I saw somebody, and you know, he was running mild diarrhea. You know what they call mild diarrhea? His mouth was running faster than his mouth. That was, yeah. And I said, hey, I said, no, point of correction. Don't look to me, look to him. I said, because I have nothing to do with anything that you see that is happening. It has nothing to do with me. Nothing. I said, it's all about him. Amen, somebody. You see, there are two ways you can die quickly. Say quickly, somebody. Two ways. When is either you are taking the glory to yourself, or some people who are pushing the glory to you, and instead of you to say, point of correction, yes, I know what I did. You are digging your grave. Go and ask Herod. Amen, somebody. Herod, Acts chapter 12. They said, this is the voice of a God and not of a man. Yes. Right there. See, right there, somebody. Have you ever seen somebody struck by an angel? Right there, decomposes. The only thing that was left was bones. Worms just at instant. This somebody with clothes, and the only thing they saw, some of him, how did he become skeleton? Listen, God did not even wait for decomposition. No. Instant, somebody. No need for decomposition. So that man will know that there is he that rules in the affairs of men. Tap your neighbor, say, stay humble, or you might stumble. You sit down, don't two stones. You sit down, don't two stones. If you don't stay humble, you stumble. Because you want to be taking something, the glory that is not yours to yourself. So it's important. We have to. Let me close on this. Another way you can maintain a grateful, find something to be grateful for. Do you know there is something to be grateful for? You see, at times I hear the foolishness of man. I hear it. So I say, there is nothing to be grateful for. God has not done anything. That's a lie. That's a big lie. You see, human beings are short of memory. Say, short of memory. Say, God has not done anything for me this year. God has not even done anything for me this month. He has not even done anything for me today. Are you sure? Do you know that if we think... You see, that's why the word Selah is in the book of Psalms. Is there more than any other book? I think it's also in the book of Habakkuk, but it's more in the book of Psalms. It's about 71 times or so. Bible scholars agree that the word Selah means stop, pause, and think. Just stop, pause, and think. That's what we don't do often. We don't stop, we don't pause, we don't think. Amen? Because if you stop your tracks, if you think, you will remember where he picked you up from. You will remember what he has done for you. Amen, somebody? You remember what he has done for you. You know, at times, because God changes suddenly, you know, what looks like an impending doom to victory and conquest, we might even forget what he has brought us through. Listen, that's why it's always good to keep a journal. Amen, somebody. Amen. Find something to be grateful for. There's always something to be grateful for. There's always something. If you look inward, if you look deeply, you will find something to be thankful for. As small as taking a bowl,
maybe a bottle, I mean a spoon of rice or bolos of amala, put it in your mouth, and you know, some of us, we don't even worry what happens. It just... Some time ago, was it 2 years ago, I had some challenge with my tummy, and that's when I appreciated all the wonderful work that God has been doing. That we just throw something inside. And you don't even know. All enzyme, everybody's just doing their part. Just a little discomfort with my tummy. So I had the challenge for periods of months. I say, oh, Father, I'm very grateful. I thank you. I didn't know all the things you have been doing for me before now, that you just put something inside and you just forget about everything. It's like seamless. It's seamless. Just going on. They're breaking it down. They're just breaking down. Amino acids. Everything's going to your bloodstream. But if he just said to hang it here, say hang it here. You have constipation and some other things like that. Say, hey, but well, something, indigestion. You now begin to appreciate all the wonderful work the enzymes have been doing all these years. Look at your neighbor and say, never take anything for granted. I even believe that we need to increase our gratitude deliberately. Deliberately. I learned that from one of my mentors, and you see, it's important. A life that is grateful to God will never lack grace. It's not possible. It's not possible. Grace will always be there when you are grateful. Excessively grateful. Elaborate with your thanks. It's something you go to great extent to do. God cannot but be lavishing his grace. And your joy cannot but overflow. The enemy will not take your joy. The world will not take your joy. Your joy will be intact. Nothing will cut short your joy in the name of Jesus. As we approach the end of this year, I declare in the name of Jesus, your joy will overflow. Your joy will run over. God will grant you victory over every major battle you are involved in the name of Jesus. It will turn the tide in your favor in the name of Jesus. The Goliaths that you may be facing today, they will bow down before your face in the name of Jesus. God subdues and God extinguishes every giant on your pathway in the name of Jesus. You will enter into the place of rest. You are entering into your rest. The place of glory in the name of Jesus. You will finish this year well by God's grace. You will finish this year strongly in the name of Jesus. Your mouth will be filled with laughter. Your heart will abound with testimonies in the name of Jesus. I pray for you that the God of hope will fill you with all joy and hope in believing that through the power of the Holy Spirit, you will abound in hope. You will abound in hope. Father, I pray for everybody under the sound of my voice tonight. And I release your blessing upon every head, upon every home in the name of Jesus. Your word will keep, your word will preserve and bring your people into the inheritance in the name of Jesus. This year is not over. It's not done. God is still at work. Everything you are expecting him, everything you are still looking up to me, shall come to pass in Jesus' name. Those who are carrying what you need, they will meet with you in Jesus' name. Your expectations will not be cut off. Your expectation will not be cut off. I pray for anybody whose joy is under attack, whose joy is threatened. Let there be a revival. Let there be a resuscitation in the name of Jesus. I lay the axe to the root of anything that is threatening your joy, and I cut it off in Jesus' name. Let your joy come alive. Let your joy be revived. Let your joy be rekindled in the name of Jesus. Lift up your hands and begin to bless him tonight. Bless him tonight.
Faithful God, keep up the covenant. He will keep his covenant.